You are about to receive messages that may be harmful to your mental state. Your sense of reality will be questioned. Your view on things will be altered. You are now part of the meta. The meta controls everything. The meta determines what will and will not happen. You are watching the Meta Show.
Welcome to a special War Watch edition of the Meta Show. My name is Brisk Rabal. I am joined by the Mitanni. Today is June 20th, 2020. That's 4/20/2020.
6/20/2020. Oh, wow. Yeah, it was 4/20/2020. I think I would be more aware of the date. But awesome. Yeah, so that was a crazy video that we just got to watch. So one of the guys in Karma Fleet put that together, and we just decided we'd throw that at the start of the show. Fantastic stuff, and it sort of sets the theme for today. We are going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff, because there's war, or maybe there's not war, maybe we're all just making it up. We have Asher Elias, who is going to be joining us as a guest as we grind into all the stuff. And, you know, Asher, Brisk, and I all can individually talk paint off of wall. So you guys might want to invest in new paint if you're going to actually be watching the show, because, you know, God only knows what's going to happen. Brace yourselves. But before we get into all of this wacky war stuff, Brisk has some things he'd like to say about something that's not directly related to war, but does technically affect everyone in New Eden. So, Brisk, why don't you take it away?
So I think it's going to impact the war, because I feel like this is something that we need to remind ourselves of every time that something big like this happens. And if you guys have been following the news, you saw all the issues with the Forsaken Fortress update and the asset safety debate and people being mad. And we talked about it on the show multiple times, and it was all on the CSM debate. Well, the first, as I was fully expecting, we saw the first example of a player who was AFK, was not aware of the changes, come back and lost 600 billion worth of BPOs. And it hit Reddit. And of course, as Reddit is wont to do, in the past year or so, I think it was every 2 or 3 weeks, there'd be a flurry of pitchforks about botting. And now it seems like it's going to be a flurry of pitchforks about asset safety stuff. So as we're sitting potentially on the cusp of a major war, and as we're sitting here talking about people losing all of their assets and all of the things that they put together through no fault of their own, I wanted to talk a little bit about something that I think is very important in the concept of EVE Online, and that is the idea of loss. Okay? We lose things in this game. EVE is not like any other MMO out there. If I logged into Star Wars Galaxies before they shut the servers down, I could rest assured that the stuff that I left when I left was gonna be there when it came back. I didn't have to worry about putting it somewhere. It was in my inventory. Nobody could get access to it. Nobody could take it away from me. That's not EVE. That's never been EVE. EVE is one of those games where when you die, you lose stuff and somebody else can pick it up. There are very few games like that that provide that kind of a real meaningful mechanic that happens when you lose stuff, when you fail, when you miss a fight, when you screw up, when your fleet gets destroyed, when you get potted, when anything like that, you lose things. That's like in no other game. And I think that is what has attracted a lot of us to EVE Online. If you've been in Goonswarm for more than 10 years like Mittens has, you've lost a lot of stuff. You've lost regions. You've lost ships. You've lost alliances. You've lost friendships because of stuff like this. Self-respect, right, as Asher would say. You're going to lose things. It's inevitable. So when I see people getting viscerally upset about the idea, not even them, because I think the guy that lost the stuff was not really that mad. I mean, he said, I'm annoyed that I couldn't do it, but he didn't proclaim that he was angry or he was going to quit the game forever or that this was the most evil thing or he was going to sue everybody. He just said, hey, this sucks. And I agree with him, it sucks. But he wasn't that upset, and I think he had the right attitude, and I think a lot of people that have the right attitude recognize that in this game, there are a handful of things that you will always have that matter the most. And I think, for at least for me, and this is me speaking, so your mileage may vary, but the most important thing to me in EVE are the friendships and the relationships that I build with other players. That's the stuff that I cultivate. That's the stuff that I keep coming back to this game for. It's not because I have a Titan or two Titans or a Marshall or, you know, any kind of special bling fit Kikimora with officer mods and all kinds of stuff that I like to take out and fly. All that shit's going to die someday. I mean, I guarantee, I've already lost a Titan. I know it's going to die. And I've spent a lot of real life money being able to buy the stuff that I have in the game so I don't have to rat or mine. Other people have invested tons of time so that they can get access to the same stuff that I have. And that's true. But in the end, it's all just electrons. Someday, the servers are going to shut down, and the thing that I will have that I'll be able to walk away from this game with are the relationships and the experiences that I've had with my friends. That's number one to me. So for me, that's why I'm here, not the stuff that I accumulate. And the second thing is, I think your name and your character are critical because that becomes part of your identity. That stuff is something that nobody can ever take away except you. You can choose to biomass a character. You can choose to do stuff that makes your name bad or makes you look bad. But in the end, nothing CCP is going to do, you know, unless maybe they falsely accuse you of something and ban you and you get a thousand articles written, you know. Nothing, they can't do anything to that stuff. So those changes, that anything they decide to change, that's not going to impact you. So I say, focus your attention on the stuff that you can control that you have. Don't assume that just because something is the way it is now, that it's always going to be that way. And don't ever take a gaming company's promise to the bank. I mean, be skeptical. Always hedge. You know, just because you... All right, right now, NPC stations are safe. Maybe they won't be. We don't know. But at the end of the day, as long as you recognize that loss is something that will happen and that you're prepared for it, and it's not going to be the end of the world or you're going to quit because you lost a thing, then I think you'll be a better EVE player. And I think that'll make for a better community. So that's my soapbox, and that was a literal soapbox this week. And I think it dovetails pretty much into our conversation about war, because you know what? Who knows what's going to happen in this thing? So are we ready for our top story to bring Asher on?
Yeah, I mean, let's just go ahead and dive right in.
Here we go. War. War? That's what I titled the show. Is it war? Are we going to have a fight?
Well, I mean,
you guys tell me. You guys are the puppet masters. I'm just the line guy. I need to hear.
Tell me
a story, Uncle Mittens.
You know, I just got out of a fireside with about 1,000 people in it, and I think it's a fair cop. Like, there's a couple ways this is going to go, right? Like, for people that have missed the memo, we have after we deployed, speaking as the Imperium, we deployed to attack Snuffed Out. We blew up about half a trillion isk of their structures, and as the part of this campaign, we started seeing NCDOT turned up, and Horde turned up, and then FRT is turning up, and then all of the same personalities who were involved in the first Casino War suddenly seem to be active and playing EVE again, and I wasn't born yesterday. So we pulled out a Cloud Ring. We're going to continue doing that all of this week. And we're gearing up for the same gaggle of idiots who attacked us in the first Casino War to attack us in, I guess, Casino War 2.0. And this time they don't have any Casino ISK. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. Now, there's a couple ways this could go. Nothing could come of it, right? Like, because we knew what they were going to do and we have prepared accordingly, they may then get a little case of the jitters, right? And already I'm starting to see some excuses like, oh, you gave up Cloud Ring. Oh, you gave up Pure Blind. Because as I had to explain to my guys on the fireside just a few minutes ago, and I only just found this out a couple of days back. So there's this pubby coalition map, like some random dude named Chuggy, I guess, runs a Verite, like the Sov map, but the coalition thing. And they had labeled French Connection, which is not a member of the Imperium, as being like Imperium affiliates. And so, you know, our spies are reporting that like the hostiles are talking about how, oh, the Imperium is giving up two regions just because they got scared or something like that. And so that might happen. Like they might just back off their little plan because we got wind of it and are preparing accordingly. And then claim that we gave up two regions that we were never really Imperium territory to begin with, but right. Whatever sort of excuse, casuistry, whatever, like, you know, I know what you guys are up to and bring it.
Like, just like fucking bring it. Why they
have been preparing this for years. Fucking bring it, guys. Let's do it. That's all I got to say about that. Asher, what are you feeling, man?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Asher. How are you?
I'm well, thank you for asking. All right, so I am the voice of the little guy, Brisk, and I'd like to step on your soapbox for a minute, if I could.
Go ahead.
I think you've sold that guy short. I think he was pretty upset. But you can have a good idea and have bad implementation, right? You know, there's lots of ways to go about that. And the problem is not so much that it drops loot. It's that there was 2.5-3 weeks of notice. If they had said in 6 months, we're switching it, I think very few people could argue with that. That's a lot of notice for everyone. It was the implementation of the idea rather than it being a bad idea in and of itself. And you've been really on board. I've seen you on the Reddit. You've been harvesting the downvotes, saying people that you think it's a good one. And it can be a good idea, but it can be done the wrong way. And I'd say that was what happened here. It was not done well. People didn't get emails. Like they're saying we're emailing people. The emails never showed up. You know, well, that's the problem.
That's part of the reason why I felt like no matter what they did, it was never going to be enough. And even if they had provided more, another month of time or whatever, I feel like somebody would come back and say, well, it still wasn't enough. And there was always going to be the case of that guy that would be on the bubble who'd come back like a week after the thing went through and didn't know about it.
But there's a reason it had 1,000 comments, like mostly positive about, you know, this was done the wrong way. It's because a lot of people felt that it was done the wrong way. And yeah, you're right. So the guy could show up 6 months from now and say, hey, 6 months notice was not enough. But then there would have been very few, everyone would say, hey, that's a lot of time. That's way more than they normally give. And that's the difference. When you do something this big, you either need a lot of time or a lot of notice. And neither of those happened.
One of the challenges on this, like we talked about this last week, and so we'll get to the war stuff in a bit, other than bring it. I didn't really respond to what Brisk's soapbox was because, you know, we talked about it the previous week, and my position is, you know, I disagree completely with him, right? And I don't really want to get into the line by line about it, but essentially my position, if you look at last week's show, is essentially the same as what Asher was saying. The challenge is that even though I think it is, I'm a big believer in the rule of law. I think that CCP told people that there was an expectation of the rule of law being X, Y, and Z, and that you could trust asset safety. And if you go back on the rule of law, you can fall back on arguments of like personal responsibility, or you could think about X, Y, and Z, or maybe you should have anticipated this or whatever. But it's pretty clear, regardless of what our feelings on the matter are, that CCP fucked up here, right? Like if there would not be this sort of outpouring of, dude, what the fuck, if there wasn't a tremendous amount of blowback from the player base towards the company. The problem is that it's not something that can really be fixed or anything can be done about it now, right?
Correct.
Like, what are they going to do? Right? We can argue about whether it was good or bad, but now that they have done this damn silly thing in this damn silly way, you can't really turn off the abandoned, you can't like turn the low power mode thing off and go back to what it was before, because then that's not fair to the people who had just had all their shit lost. Yeah. CCP, I don't think, has the capacity to do the kind of like retcon that would be necessary.
No, they can't roll it back, I don't think.
Restore people. So, you know, they tied the rule of law about asset safety to the train tracks. They ran it over the train, and then we can argue about whether we should put, you know, what are we going to do with the pieces? I don't know. It's one of those things where you just sort of have to move on, right? So that's my position. I disagree. I agree with Asher. I think that CCB screwed this up and that it wasn't fair and that they went back on their word, and sending emails and 6 weeks of notice is not nearly enough. But it sucks. It's a what's done is done kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to say, hey guys, you know, get used to losing things. If you're back to the point where you think that losing things in EVE is bad, then we need to break out of that mindset, because it's going to happen some more. But I mean, honestly, I'm not going to argue with you guys about the implementation. We, you know, I'm of two minds of it. I agree to a certain extent that they could have done more. I think they should still allow for players who are, you know, AFK through no fault of their own because of something happening to them to be able to petition to have their stuff moved if they need to. I think that's an obvious, easy release, you know, release valve. I have no idea how they, I mean, they say 150,000 emails were sent out. I don't know how they define an AFK player or an inactive player, because you got, it can't just be subs, because we have people with alpha accounts that play that don't have a subscription. And if it's people that just don't log in, like the guy that that prompted the Reddit post, you know, he was logging in every year and fueling his stuff. So it looks like, if you're looking at the metrics, is that guy inactive? He's still technically playing the game. So would he have gotten an email? I don't know. So I don't know how they define that.
He had active accounts. Like, he kept his accounts active. He just didn't play a bunch.
Just wasn't physically there. So
he said he showed up like once a month to, you know, do his jobs, and yeah, exactly.
So that's the thing. Like, I don't know if there was an easy way for them to do it. I mean, I think at least most of the arguments that I've heard from folks that I've been talking to, they don't mind the mechanic. They think the problem is they don't like the implementation, and that's fair. And I'm perfectly fine with that. It's not the first time they've made major screw ups. It's not going to be the last time. And God knows, I'm not going to sit here and defend the company. They can do that themselves. It's not my job. I'm not interested in that. And I'm definitely not doing that on the CSM. We had our first meeting on Friday, and it was mostly onboarding. But I did bring up and said, hey, you know, these guys are, people are upset. Just make sure you know that. So
we've noted that down. Thank you.
Exactly. Write it on a piece of paper or something.
I mean, I have to say, I think that Brisk, and I mean this in the sense of, if you've ever watched Yes Minister or Yes Prime Minister, I think that Brisk's stance is a brave and courageous one on this topic.
I only watched that because you told me, and by the way, it was great. Like, I didn't expect a BBC show from the early 1980s to be good in any way. But it actually was really good. So there's one person here who gets the reference. Fantastic.
And for those of you who don't get the reference, saying that someone else has made a brave and courageous stand means you're full of shit. That's exactly what that means.
It's not that you're full of shit. It's just political suicide.
It's
a very courageous stance.
No, it's true.
Stance.
It's just
very brave of you to say that.
You're so brave.
Well, that's the old politician line. You know, what's a gaffe when a politician says something that's true?
Exactly.
All right. So back to war. All right. So what do you guys? I feel like I'm not getting the intel. I'm obviously, Asher is a very important man. Mittens is a very important man. I am a
I lost a legion the other day.
TV show.
So I don't know. I think I'm getting demoted too. I was feeling very sad about the fact that I lost a legion because I tried to lock a wolf or something stupid like that while an entire hostile fleet was right on top of our tethered fleet, and I did not understand that if you lock a target. Because I've only really been playing Modern Eve again for like the last month. So I found out the hard way that if you try to lock a target, your tether breaks and you get instantly vaporized. But then Haiwanto lost a legion a couple days later. So, you know, we're really, the war tracking is very legion focused.
So the rumor is, the rumor that we pulled back from the snuff deployment because you lost a legion, that's not true, right?
Absolutely. Oh no, so what I've read is that I lost a legion and I raged out. Because I am known for raging out when I lose a spaceship. And also that we have withdrawn from two regions that were Imperium controlled. And this is I think, something that's really sort of interesting is like actually trying to like using from like an Intel metagame perspective to see what people think is the map, right? And because it turned out, like I mentioned at the start of the segment, like it turned out that there's this pubby who has assigned on the coalition map half of Pureblind to like Imperium affiliates or something, that as far as I can tell, the guys in Horde legitimately believe that the Imperium held Pureblind, and that when I announced that we were withdrawing from Cloud Ring, which was like, you know, we had assets there because of content, right? Or we had sort of chained those all the way out to KQK from when we glass tribute, that their line believes, and based upon the map, that's what they see, that the Imperium just gave up two regions. So, you know, the way this is going to work, I think, is that if my dear friends who had such a hard time fighting us with Infinite Isk last go-round, if my dear, dear friends choose to actually bridge the gap and come in and have the fight that they so seem so eager for. I look forward to that. But if they do not, their excuse will be that we already lost two regions and like it's boop, we scared you. We totally were never going to do this thing and you just assumed that we were. So that'll be the line if they back off. But we'll just have to see. So because they have given us so much notice by putting their cards on the table, then we're just going to continue to prepare for the absolute worst and see what happens. I mean, we might just get our asses kicked. I mean, the assumption, it could be a reasonable one amongst our enemies, is that our organization has become so weak and hollowed out and so stagnant that the moment that an invasion happens, we will collapse, right? Like, I've seen a lot of that in chatter, like this idea that we're like going to cave in like a rotten melon. And, you know, if the enemy assumes that and they assume that we gave up two regions, they might actually make the leap into attacking Delph and attacking Fountain. So, cool.
Right. Well, I mean, all right. So from the pure blind thing, I can understand why the guy that does the maps thinks that, you know, French Connection is somehow affiliated with it, because they're blue to in it, because we're friends with those guys. We've been up there. We fought them a lot during the tribute glassing phase. And it just got to be one of those things where we like these guys. They're fun. We hang out with them. But they've never been Imperium members. Just because you're blue to an Imperium member does not mean that you're in the Imperium. But I guess that's a concept that some folks can't seem to figure out. But I like the French Connection guys. They're cool, but they're not. I mean, we're
apparently
friends.
We own half of Declan too, according to this fucking map. This is like, okay. So I'm gonna drop this in chat here, guys. So I am going.
That's because FXR owned that part. Yeah.
I'm gonna read this little map for filth here. So like, here is Imperium territory in like my universe. Actual. So if you bring this up here, I drop the link. So what is actually Imperium territory? Fountain, Delve, period basis, Aquarius, which is like a floodplain region that we've put the QFC in. And so you see, like, we barely ever defend the Sov in Aquarius and it changes hands all the time. Genton, again, does really fantastic videos about news updates. And usually one of the things that surprised me is, you know, Genton does seem to get it right. So if you don't want to take it from me, you can listen to him. But like Cloud Ring, the Sov there was never really ours. Like Initiative had put down footholds there because they wanted to project power into other areas and like content. We could go after snuff from there. This whole pure blind thing, no. Like, we did attack into pure blind when we were staging out of F7C because we were shooting targets of opportunity. But I don't even know what Petco is. Imperium affiliates and half of Declan? Like, so, you know, it's really interesting when, like, people who are, I guess we would call them, like, low information voters or something. But, like, if you don't know how to read a fucking soft map and you also don't know how to read a chessboard, you might look at this and go, oh, well, the map says this. And so, you know, the Mitanni is lying about all of this. But if you actually got off your ass and went out there with a spaceship and like looked around, like that's not Imperium stuff. Like, yeah. Sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. Like, it sucks to be you. If you believed, because you were a dumbass, that we owned pure blind, and if you believed that we own half of Declan because of French Connection or something like that, that's on you. And I think that's great, because if you believe that we have now ceded all these regions as we were pulling back to deal with quite possibly the galaxy's most obvious pending invasion, telegraphed weeks in advance. If you want to mock us and make fun of us and say we look like dumbasses, great. You know where to find us. You know exactly where to find us, and we are delighted to fight you on our Keepstars.
Well, I mean, you look at the past 3 years, right? And what is the offensive that you know PanFam's gone on? They did crush the corpse of Guardians of the Galaxy, but that's it. I can't think of anything else. They've actually gone to the offensive. They fought a lot of defensive wars. We've attacked them multiple times. We went up to Hakkaden. We went up to Tribute twice. We've actually fought them many times.
We never get to use our fucking Keepstars. We are always fighting puppies.
We always go on the offensive. But that's better for us. I mean, that's what I've always said, and I've said it to you, is that being on the offensive, putting yourself in bad situations, is better for your members than it is. Even if you lose more fights, it's better to get the experience in the harder time, because it makes it easier to win when you when you get attacked. And I guess we get to actually put that to the test, because you know these guys have been sitting, you know, not doing that for so long that I think they don't understand how much of an advantage it is. We'll see. I mean, we'll see.
A good point, Asher. You know, that's a very good point. When I'm trying to think in my head, when was the last time that NCDOT deployed and took an offensive move that was not a reaction to something that somebody else did? I can't think of it. I remember PL going down and going after Pravi was probably the last time they did something offensive that was just because
like
they
the Pravi stuff, like, yeah, like punching downward on random people that can't do anything about it. Like, right? Yeah, like when those guys do that. But like in terms of like a serious offensive deployment, PL and NCDOT, Pravi slap fight. I mean, going all the way back to the Fountain War, which was, you know, 2013, like NCDOT deployed and was trying to stop us and mess with us. PL went into Syndicate to stage an attack there. Usually speaking, if you're going to do things around Delve and Fountain, you do it in like Hophib or Sacked or, you know, one of the normal invasion vectors. So
they did attack GTG, but they attacked with Horde, NCDOT, PL, and Winter Coalition.
Well, wasn't that after we softened them up anyway?
Right. That was my point, is that we had attacked them before. We sent 100 people to Roar, and we fought them in subs with, you know, limited capital support, and we fought them for a year, and we really sharpened our guys. They came in and killed, you know, a corpse that we had, you know, just, you know, decimated morale-wise and had a lot of dudes leave after we sort of embarrassed them for a year.
And got all the cube stars.
That's why I think if they attack us, it'll only be with a group that is just giant, because these are the
it'll be all the rest of fucking Eve. It'll be all the fucking puppies punching together. Downward. Yeah.
These guys like, do not know how to do anything but punch downward.
Every few years, let's all go attack goons. Let's all go together because we're fucking terrified. And usually we're overextended. Like, it's easy to attack us when we're overextended because we have a habit of overextending because it's the only way we get content.
They've been the biggest blob in Eve for 5 years and more. And You know, Mittens, that I hated 2014 goons, Helldunker Blue Balls. I thought it was bad. I thought it was good to win a war, but bad for an organization. It was great for 6 months. It was terrible for 6 years. And that's something I've been saying to you for a long time.
I know. And like, you also don't like it when we're outnumbering the other guy. And conveniently, it seems like we have now been outnumbered for what feels like years now.
But
like,
I think these guys saw us win wars against them like that and said, this is the way forward. They adopted what we did, and I don't think they learned the same lessons that we have. So I mean, we'll see. It's one of those things I keep saying we'll see, because we don't know. We could be wrong on everything.
It's very exciting, I think, because like, you know, one of the things about Eve is that like one of the reasons why I think that there's so much anticipation in the air is that for me, it's an opportunity to make up for mistakes made in the past, right? So like, as an alliance leader, obviously you don't want to lose a war, right? It sucks to lose a war. Nobody likes losing a war. If they say that they lose a war and they're like, oh, it's fine, it's great, whatever, that's always bullshit. Like, losing the casino war sucked, right? We got revenge by running around and slitting throats for the next couple of years, but the actual process of dragging all your shit out to Saarinen and getting your ass kicked, it sucks. You don't want to do that, right? But this is an opportunity for us, and not just for me, but like everybody who is in like Imperium leadership that has like a woulda, coulda, shoulda of like, man, if we had just done this at this point during the casino war, we could have like changed the outcome, or we could have tweaked this, or we could have done this better. And so for many of us, we have like a file folder in the back of our head of stuff that went wrong when we lost a war. And we want to see now, if we do things differently, you know, how would it go, right? If we, instead of letting ourselves... So let me talk about Cloud Ring for a bit for context. People that like missed the emergency fireside I gave on Wednesday, we in the Imperium are withdrawing from Cloud Ring because all of the other blocks have decided that they are going to go mess with us and deploy against us. It was a very clear plan to draw us out and try to kill our super caps while we were deployed against stuff out. We deployed against stuff, and then all the other blocks came. And, oh, gee, why is the Mitanni talking about war? Why would he be doing this? Because I wasn't born yesterday. And you know where to find us. So we made the decision, instead of making the same mistake that we made in the casino war, of defending Fade, which was a what we call a floodplain region. Fade, at the time of the casino war, when we were based out of Declan, was essentially very difficult to defend. Its ADMs were weak. Fozzy-Sov was new, and we were expending a lot of blood and treasure to try to defend SMA-Sov in Fade. And the enemy had infinite money because cheated casino ISK that then all got banned after the casino war. They do not have their cheated casino ISK anymore. So I think it's going to be hilarious, especially to call it the casino war 2.0, because there is no casinos involved and it'll just be extra aggravating because I know it drives you guys crazy. That's why I always call it the casino war. But so we pulled up
Thunder. World War B. Let's call this one World War B. And that one the casino war.
There you go. There you go. Just to mess everybody's head up.
That's a fucking brilliant idea, Asher. That's a brilliant fucking idea. Wow. Okay. Well, we'll have to see what makes the puppies matter. But wow, that's good, man. That's good. I'm fucking hyped. Like I've been playing a lot of Eve. Like I started playing Eve at the start of the Jeff deployment, which was, and you know, actually in the client. Like I got a big upgrade on my monitor, so like Eve was actually pretty. It turned out one of the reasons why I never really got into the game before is that my monitors were garbage. They were like the $150 like 1080p Asus throwaway panels that like work for years and years. And I didn't realize, oh, if you actually get an upgraded monitor, you want to fly the spaceships because the spaceships look amazing, right? With like a real monitor and like all the pretty toys turned on. And then the excitement of a potential block war is just, it's good. So yeah, so we pulled out of Cloud Ring. We were overextended, just like we had tried to pull down KQK and lost that. And you know, if we're going to fight a defensive war against restofeve.jpg, because this is what pubbies do, this is the only thing they know how to do. Every 3 or 4 years, they all get together under some excuse. Oh, it's time to go attack Gunswarm. And you know, all of our allies get lumped into this too. So we pulled back from Cloud Ring and we're continuing that process. And we're digging in. We know this is coming and they can make excuses about what I guess will be World War B.
I think it's a good time to test like leadership philosophies. Like for a really long time,
yeah,
I've advocated put ourselves in situations where we have a disadvantage. It is better to take fights that you have a smaller chance of winning, because when you win them, it feels better. Your guys are more challenged. They're more likely to stay with you. We were so stagnant before the casino war. Like we had guys who were leaving because they were bored because they never were challenged. And we have continuously put ourselves in situations where we're going to go in this fight, guys. We have a 20% chance of winning. If we win, it'll be amazing. If we lose, it's expected. But it was a much more exciting way to play in my mind. I think it's better for your dudes because it trains them and it challenges them. And we're going to compare that sort of leadership philosophy to blue balls or hell dunk. It's going to be, you know, an interesting thing to see which is the better one. And I think a lot of what has led these people to like consider attacking us is they think we're weak because they like, oh, look at this dunk on goons, you know, look at this loss, you know, and they have this sort of attitude. These guys are weak. Like, let's see if that's true. You know, let's see, you know, does taking fights where you know that you have less of a 50-50 chance of winning, hurt your morale, or does it help your dudes enjoy the game more? And I'm really interested to find that out. I'm looking forward to it if it happens.
You know, it's the dream, really, because like one of the reasons why the pubbies attacked us in the casino war when they did was they knew that if we got citadels, they wanted to try to get us out of the Northwest before we got citadels, because they knew we would dig in and fortify. Because if you have been playing this game for any length of time and you've ever been in a block war against the Imperium, you know that we do attrition warfare better than everybody, right? Like this is our thing, is just grinding attrition. Even before the whole held on blue balls kind of concept happened, like came around, we would, you know, we have less skill points than other people back in the day. We would just grind into people until we break their wills. It doesn't matter if they have titans. If you break the will of the pilot and they say, wow, I really don't want to fight these guys anymore, that titan isn't there. You didn't blow it up, but it's not on the field and your whelp canes can sweep, which is how we kicked Raiden Dot out of Branch or Tenal. No, it was White Noise was in Branch and Raiden Dot was in Tenal. That's back in like 2011. It's just I am pumped to actually have an opportunity to do like a proper defensive war, because for the last several years we have been the ones overextending ourselves, putting our dick on the table and fighting uphill in the rain, fighting, attacking like an X-47, same gaggle of idiots that that are going to be coming at us now, kick their ass over and over and over again. But we're doing it where they have keep stars, where we're attacking their Titan fleets with our Titan fleets. We have nothing to keep us safe and we're assuming all the risk, but now we'll get to be the ones sitting on our keep stars and see how that goes. And maybe we'll fuck it up. We will definitely lose keep stars. Like if I was telling the guys before, if they invade us and they do this, we are going to lose keep stars. We're going to lose Titans. We are going to fight like hell and set that expectation. of grinding attrition, keep star defense after keep star defense, because we have a lot of them and there's going to be more of them. I'm really legitimately like pumped for this.
I'm excited too, intense. Because I was not around for I came in, I got back in a null sec at the tail end of the Casino War. So I didn't get to see any of the fun stuff from the line member perspective. And I want to see that from that, you know, being able to do that. And I fought in major wars before. I was in Tribute War and some other stuff, but I didn't get a chance to. I wanted to be part of something like that where you feel like the entire world is coming at you. That sounds cool. Now, here's my big concern. This is my big worry. We're talking about this today. There are 600 people watching this show. Obviously, folks knew that we were coming here to watch, that we were going to talk about this today, and they want to see what we're going to say about it. My big concern is two things. First, these guys decide they're going to pull a coalition-wide major form nonsense and then try to claim that, well, we were never going to, because I already saw Blazing Bunny was trying to do this on Open Comms with us last night. Well, why do you guys think we're coming to fight you? This doesn't make, why would we do that? I don't understand. It doesn't make any, okay, all right. You guys want to, if you guys really want to pull a major form on this level and laugh at us because we're cleaning our act together and getting our stuff together, that's fine. I mean, frankly, as far as I'm concerned, this has given me an excuse to go clean up my hangers, which have random crap all over the place. I'm selling stuff and moving things around and cleaning shit up because, hey, why not? I have an excuse now. And it's not just because, you know, CCP changed something and made it. I've got a war coming. The second thing that I'm concerned about is they go ahead and they start this thing, and then they get distracted by a shiny object 2 weeks later and decide to stop or go do something else. Because I'll tell you, I feel like as soon as they realize this is not going to be as easy as whenever we come up there and fight them, where they can just sit back and get content all the time, that they're going to actually have to do things, that it's going to slowly become, well, this wasn't as much fun. And then we're going to see the equivalent, the coalition equivalent of Alpha Star deciding he's got to go do his homework and he can't play Fleet games anymore. You know, I don't want that to happen. That's my big concern. I don't want that to happen.
There's a non-zero possibility that they try it and they realize that, oh God, running headfirst into the wood chipper was not a wise idea. The excuses, I think, are going to be the fun bit, because you guys all know that I know what you're planning because you've seen the moves I'm making. So you can tell your line members whatever you want. But between just us chickens here, I don't know why you gave us weeks of advance notice, but boy, I'm happy you did. OPSEC seems to be a bit of a challenge amongst a group of people who cannot seem to keep their mouths shut, try as hard as they may. So, I mean, actually, if they had just slammed into us without telegraphing their moves, we wouldn't have had time to do all the fun things that we're doing right now, getting to sharpen all the blades on the wood chipper. But, you know, whatever. They can lie to their members. They can say, oh, we weren't ever going to do that. The Imperium is overreacting. But, you know, the amount, I would never put my people through this amount of effort to harden the defenses of Delve unless there was a legitimate and credible threat, right? Because why bother? It would actually be better spent in that time, in the way that Eve is currently set up, it would be better spent just focusing on crabbing, right? Like if you get out of an engagement and there's not an invasion coming right now, the optimal play is to make money to try to outcompete each other. So it would be a minus EV play for me as an alliance leader to say, guys, the bad guys are coming, and, you know, like crying wolf about it if we did not believe. And also, I mean, come on, it's obvious. If you can't read the chessboard after all these years, like, gee, why is this group deploying? Why is it, oh, it's just content, guys. Well, we're against Snuff, and then there's Horde, and there's NCDOT, and then ProGod Legend is dropping sound clouds everywhere where everybody can read exactly what he's saying. It's obvious. And I'm delighted by it. So, you know, put up or shut up. Bring it. You know where we are. You know where we are. We're waiting for you. Either you shit or you get off the fucking pot. Bring it. You don't have your little cheetah disc anymore. You have no infinite money. You don't have your casinos. Bring it.
I knew the second that you had the red shirt on that this was going to be a good episode. I could tell.
I am not fucking around. We are going to get ever more ready.
And to that point, you know what?
Jump the gap from BTAC D to J5A. Bring it. Come on in.
I'm going to pretend to be Boat today, and I'm going to make a World War II reference. How about that? Here we go. World War II reference time. Mittens does not want to be Stalin pretending that he can't, that Germany's not going to attack him, even though all the signs are there, because, well, we have an agreement, or we have this, or we have that. well, they're not going to do this. It couldn't possibly happen to me. Why would they come attack me? So we're getting our shit together. There's nothing wrong with that. What's the worst that we do? We cleaned our accounts up.
Remember that time Mittens told the galaxy to bring two times as many Titans as we have to attack us? Because I do.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. Like, we'll have the cute stars, and if they all want to get together and do it, I mean, maybe we'll look back and me saying, oh, I shouldn't have said bring it. But after a certain point, like, you see, like, the casino war was so annoying because they had cheated ISK, and then they lied and they claimed that they did not have cheated ISK through the entire time. And then after we had gotten our asses kicked, once our enemies used infinite ISK, and of course we were overextended and didn't adapt to that, which is one of our failings. After it was all over, CCB comes in and says, okay, now that it's not a political issue anymore, we're going to ban all the people who had the casino money because it was not legitimate. So now all of the same gaggle of idiots that wants to fight us, they don't have the casino money
anymore. And I'm with you. If we lost, like, I would be upset that we lost, but I wouldn't be upset that we fought, you know?
Exactly.
Who wants to live forever, right? Like,
Fortress Delve to have the castle walls and the boiling oil and all these fun things we've designed. We want to use them, right?
Yeah, some of the most fun I ever had in the game was in Saarinen. It was just like undock. And it was you and your 100 best friends. Like, you knew that whoever stuck around with you in that time was someone who was always going to be with you. There were lots of people who left and then magically came back a year later. But those people, like, I'm going to always ride with those people who were there in Saarinen with me undocking. It was 100 guys, and we undocked, and we got a fight every time because there were 300 people camping the station. And that was some of the most fun I ever had in this game. So, like, if that's the worst case scenario, then I'm happy to have it.
Exactly. Here's another World War II reference. Bastogne. You get surrounded. You're fighting. Those are the times when the guys next to you, that's something that you're never going to forget. You're always going to have a special bond with them because you were there with me. You were right by my side when we went through this. And that's something I feel like a lot of people in EVE don't get. Like, if you have not been on the losing end of a major war, if you've never been pushed out of somewhere or felt like you got stepped on, then you don't know what it's like and how positive an experience that can be for building camaraderie and community and a sense of shared identity. And that's, I'll tell you, groups that have gone through that, like Goons, like Enid has, like my corporation has, it brings people together. And it becomes a force multiplier down the road because you're going to trust the guy next to you. He's not going to fall apart because he was there when we got pushed out of X. You know,
in the trenches, covered in mud and blood, and you're fighting uphill. And, you know, exactly like that kind of bonding is something that is one of the best things about a block war. And it makes the game so much better. I think that's why we're so hyped up and why we have so many vets returning, like, waiting for this. We're hungry. Like, we've missed this for some time now.
I'm sorry, Miranda, that you're cringing because we're comparing war in a game with war in real life. But, you know, that's, we like to.
Brisk has to fill in for Boat as far as providing us with world.
That's the thing. If anything, the reason I'm really making these references is not because I want to do the comparison, because it's a funny meta show in joke meme thing where Boat always made World War II references, and people give me a hard time because we don't do that anymore on the show. So, but Asher,
yes, sir.
What do you think if this happens? What do you think it's going to look like? I mean, where do you think we're gonna start seeing the first real fighting? If this actually goes down.
I love comparing, EVE to real life war. I know it's sort of cringy, but. Like, there's a ton of good examples. It's not a one-for-one substitution, but if you study military history, like, it's really fun. So, and then sometimes you can just abuse it. And secondly, Brisk, I'm going to ignore your question like a true politician and say what I want to say.
Say what you want. That's the correct way to do it.
I just got some Popeyes delivered, and can I say how much I hate paper straws? It's literally, like that is probably the worst invention of the last 10
years. That's
the
worst thing ever.
I have missed having Popeyes so much. Complete derail. But, like, for me, Popeyes is not in, like, delivery radius. And it's like, you know, that's like my fix. I, like, need Popeyes on a fairly regular basis. And that is something that I have missed out on since all this coronavirus shit kicked off. And that's
what, like, did you get?
I hope you got spicy chicken, Asher. You got spicy, right?
I'm going to so disappoint you. I'm so disappointing.
Why would you get Popeyes if it wasn't spicy?
I know. Listen. I think ketchup is spicy.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, I know. It's embarrassing. I understand. I can't help it. I shouldn't have even mentioned it because I knew that would be the follow-up. Everyone's so mad at me. Oh,
I'm not mad. It's worse than mad. I'm disappointed.
No.
There you go.
I'll be tendering my resignation. This is the biggest attack they could have ever done on us.
Now that I'm thinking about it, Mrs. Yeah. Brisk, tomorrow is Father's Day, and you asked me what I wanted. I could go for some Popeye's chicken sandwiches tomorrow. We haven't had those in a very long time. I think
if it gets worse comes to worse, I'm going to actually try to, so I'm moving house soon, and once that's completed, I'll be in a place where I'll be able to experiment with frying my own chicken and hopefully not splashing my face with boiling oil or something dumb like that. But I actually have saved videos to recreate the Popeyes chicken sandwich by making it myself. That's good shit. So we'll see if it's good shit, but there is definitely a means and a method that I'll be experimenting with as soon as I have the opportunity next month.
Very good.
Chat is really mad at me. They're really mad at me.
They want you. They're spicy, man. You got to go with the spicy.
Yeah, but
I understand. It's not for everybody. You have to be a man to want the spicy.
It does. Listen, I'm just a little wimpy lad, and
you won't come on camera, punk?
yeah. It's because I don't want you to see me eating the clearly non-spicy Popeyes. I don't want you to see that. I'd be so embarrassed. I really hoist upon my own petard here. Is there a military analogy that we could compare this to?
That's a good question. I got to think of one.
Oh, my God.
This is like Leclerc in 1943.
Exactly. Where he had the wrong lunch and it caused the battle to fail. all right. So I think we've kind of talked the war stuff out. We do have a little bit of
a bunch of other stuff that's not related to the war. And me saying, right. Bring it. You know where to find us. We're ready. Come on, let's have a World War B. Asher, I really like the World War B thing.
That was good. That's very clever.
This will be World War B. Let's do it. This is now World War B, I think. I mean, let me know if you're in Elysium or if you're in chat and you're on the side of the good guys. Let me know how you guys feel about that. What would, we'll also have to test to see what the puppies find more annoying. But I really think that's clever.
We have a Jamaican jerk chicken place near us. And they have a non-spicy option for white people. And I order that, and it is too spicy for me. I have to drink 3 glasses of water on the non-spicy chicken.
See, that's the thing. I don't know. I like it spicy. I put Tabasco on everything. I put it on my eggs and other stuff. It's just, I like the spice stuff. My wife does it, so it's one of those weird, I don't know where, maybe it's just a Southern thing. I don't get it, but there you go. All right, so... One of the things that Asher and I talked about before we started the show was the Lightning Strike stuff is now alive. The Zappy Boys are in the game. And despite the fact that we had a lot of people proclaiming that these would be potentially overpowered and they were going to cause lots of problems, CCP already had to buff them. So that's not a good sign if we're thinking that this is going to be some major meta-impacting, shifting type thing if... They're so bad that it didn't even go a week before we had to get, an increase in the damage. So, Asher, do you think everybody was overpowered? The overpower talk was it just bad planning or did people just not understand or what do you think is the issue
there?
Do you think these are going to be useful?
Let me apply my Socratic method. I take a fleet of bombers and I attack your service fleet. What's going to happen to my bomber fleet?
It's going to die.
Yeah, they're destroyed, right? They won't kill a single Cerberus. So bombers are underpowered, right?
I guess that's a good point, because no, they're not. But you bring the hard counter to the wrong fleet, you're going to lose stuff, so...
Yeah. Someone's adding me saying, are you sure about that? Because I did lose a serve fleet to bombers once.
You're gonna lose a serve fleet to bombers.
literally the only time I've ever been bombed and lost a fleet. So maybe that's the best example.
Wait for Jay to bust your ass on that. That's great.
It was deep in my subconscious. But anyway, my point is that they're a tool. And I think they can be really powerful. Now, we haven't seen it. It's all, you know, speculative and theory. But as a, like, sort of force multiplier fleet, not your main fleet, I think they can be really useful. But as your main fleet, I think people can work around them a lot better. But if you're bringing Munins and Thunderchilds, then, or whatever they're called, then you're probably in a lot better place than if they're your main fleet.
Yeah, you know, the thing about this is I was kind of curious because I was trying to find a use for these things last night, and I was like, or the night before, time's a blur when you're preparing for an invasion. And I was like, are these things any good on fighters? Are these any good on this? Are they, like, you know, whatever, like, what's the utility? And, you know, it might be one of those things where we essentially need to wait for CCV to release the T2 versions of these ships, right? Like, maybe when there's the assault frigate version, there'll be enough bonuses stacked on top of it to make it viable. But as it stands right now, you know, we'll see as the meta develops. But, you know, right now, I don't know, Asher, if I'm wrong, like, please correct me. But, like, I right now, I'm not really seeing much, like, oh, wow, we, you know, we need these things on the field. Yeah. Nobody that I've seen has really come up with a use for them at the moment at, like, the block level anyway.
Right.
Mm. No, they will. It'll just be 30 of them, you know, or right. 50 of them. It won't be, you won't be flying 150 in a main fleet. I'll be surprised if that happens, but it'll depend on the availability too.
Yeah, the
right?
cost yeah. is a huge factor. Like, when I was looking at the Thunder Shadow, it was like 600. I mean, obviously it's going to come down because
yeah. Remember the trick ships when they came out? Right. The trick ships were super crazy expensive. Right. So, and
but we don't really know what the supply is going to be like, especially yeah. in, like, Mad Max Eve, where supply is concerned. So, like, that's another yeah. issue. Like, you don't really see, like, Barghest fleets floating around.
I was just about to say Barghest too. That was literally what I was about to say.
There you go.
I would love to run a Barghest fleet. I mean, I've done it once with Reavers. And, like, getting the supply was so hard. And when we lost them all, I was like, all right, we can replace it all in a month. Like it's really tough.
Sorry, guys. I forgot to go into cool kids mode. So we're going to do that now. And we're running our mouth. So we might run a little bit over the 1 hour mark, maybe like 5 minutes or whatever, until we run out of things to say. But I'm going to go into cool kids mode right now.
4 days from now.
Exactly. Yeah. Us three jerks here.
You know, I think from my perspective, and I think you guys are right, you know, I was thinking about how long it took for the trig ships to become established. And I want to say it took maybe a month before people started realizing, hey, you know, these have a fleet application. So, I mean, we're obviously in the very beginning mode of getting these new ships in. I have to agree with my friend Blazing in the chat. The ammo names for the ammo for these things are absolutely stupid and dumb. And I wish that they had, like, decided to go something normal. I guess they're trying to be cute. But,
the skills are silly too, right? They've added too many skills for this.
That's the other. It's like, you know, the trick ships, that was the best part, was you only yeah. needed the ship skill, you needed the main gun skill, and a specialization skill. There wasn't anything else you needed for it. So it was relatively easy. Now we've got like four other skills that you've got to train to do whatever. And I've been looking, trying to get all the stuff added to my skill tree, and it's too full, so I can't do it all. But it's like, was that necessary? I mean, maybe they thought people got perfect trick skills too quickly. But I mean, it took me like a year to get my trick skills.
Yeah, like, it's a really long train to, like, get into, like, an Ikaritza in the first
conspiracy
place.
Conspiracy theory.
Okay.
They saw a big like rise in the purchase of injectors, and therefore, like, Plex and other sales when they released trick ships for people who wanted to get them immediately, because there's just that kind of person who wants that.
Oh.
So if they double the skills needed, double the injectors.
Now that makes sense. That's fair. I mean, and it might not even be just a double, you know, a way to get more money. It could just be a way to deter people from doing that by saying, hey, we don't want you to be able to inject this. We want you to have to train it and for it to take a little while to.
That's a charitable way to put it, for sure.
I'm being nice. I'm trying to be nice.
I mean, also, there could be, like, because we saw with the trig ships, there's the trigs are released with T1 version, and then after a while you get the T2 stuff. It could well be that they have more skills involved because they have an even larger, like, ship tree. Like, you know, they're going to do more stuff with this, and that's how they decided to balance it. I think that is, again, groping for a more charitable explanation. But it could also just be that, hey, when we added the trig stuff, we made tons of money from injectors. So, you know, I watched a YouTube video of some, like, I've been like watching random YouTubes at like 4 a.m. when I'm horizontal on my couch, blasted off my ass. And so I'm seeing a side of Eve that I don't normally see, i.e. like the people who are making like high sec mission running guides or, you know, whatever. And I was watching this dude tooling around in a Thunderchild, and I was pretty unimpressed with the ship itself, but he kept talking about how it seemed like Star Trek. And it was like, this ship just speaks Star Trek to me. And it could also be that, like, from a, like a marketing perspective, because I guess they look kind of like a cross between, I don't know much Star Trek, like some mash a Klingon ship and a Romulan ship together, and a bunch of Star Trek nerds are going to be mad at me because I'm not getting it right. But
they're going to be more mad about that than the spicy chicken, to be honest. That's going to be.
That's going to be. We're going to
have all the heat on me. Literally.
I definitely got like a bird of prey kind of vibe from looking at the battleship. And so maybe like one of the reasons why there's more skills is that they're going to have more things, and they're aiming at like that. Sort of like player demographic of people who will go like this presses my Star Trek buttons, and so I'm gonna get this now. But I'm really curious to see what they do with it. I mean, just from a certain perspective, like having a weapons profile, like ammo that's mostly like EM kinetic is in and of itself, like that's a thing, right?
It's actually like really strong in that way, because there's no ships that have a natural EM kinetic resist.
Exactly.
So you can't pick a ship to fight that doctrine that will work well.
Right. You're going to have to specifically tank for it, which is going to leave you opened up to other stuff.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Which is another reason that these things, I think, make a complementary fleet much more than the main fleet. One thing people have been suggesting has been that it will chain to the ships you lock, lower the amount of chain damage, so like maybe half as much chain, but you could target the chains. That might be a way to make them really useful. Or maybe you do that with kind of T2. You know, that might be a way to do it as well. So that's one
you
way
fire
you
fire one
ships.
Thing and it hits everything you have targeted. Something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be
exactly.
That
yeah.
Would be interesting.
Yeah. I, you know, the thing about them is that people are really into them. Like, regardless of whether they're going to be viable from like a, is it going to make it out to like the block level kind of thing? But, you know, they're really badass looking ships. Like, I really
they're
like the
cool
look of
looking.
Them.
They're very cool.
And I really like the fact that, again, shout out to the Star Trek video guy that I was watching last night. Where like, you know, the hard points have like a really cool animation where if you take the Vorton projector offline, it shows you with like those weird like antenna things sort of sticking out of the ship are actually the Vorton projector, however the fuck you pronounce it. And it's just like, it's a really high quality, cool mechanic. And I hope it turns into something that we all get to use the hell out of, kind of like the Kikimora, right? Like, you know, you want to see something and then you want to actually play with the toy and have it be viable. So yeah, hopefully we'll get there. But, you know, man, the art department has been on fire lately. Like in the best, you know,
art
it's just
so good.
It's like, you know, so many of the various issues of this game are like smoothed out by just like pretty spaceship. And, you know, I get the, ooh, like I don't have the Star Trek background or whatever, but I definitely have the, ooh, cool, pretty spaceship, because my reaction after watching this video and like staring at the Thunderchild was basically like, hey guys, can we use this thing against fighters? Hey guys, can we use this in this? Like, is there any use for, is there some way that we can find a way to cram these things into a way for our dudes to play with them and have them be useful as opposed to minus EV?
Do you guys think about them just basically giving up on the standard ship tree and that the racial ship tree and that there
I
are?
I hope they keep doing it. I think they are.
Yeah, no, they basically said we don't like that there's 4 different races and they just keep coming out with new races essentially.
I think the 4 different races, that whole system is like an archaic relic of an era before skill injectors, right? Because, you know, it becomes less like, ooh, cool, we're like, I'm an Amar specialist or whatever. It's better for the game to encourage people to shift between different races and different hulls, because, you know, you're missing out on a lot of Eve if you only fly Amar. Like, if you want to do that for role-playing reasons or you just really like lasers, great. But, you know, the other thing that I think is great about CCP moving into bringing different factions and different races into the game is that it, this goes back to art, actually. I have lots of strong opinions about skins, lots of strong opinions about ship art when I'm playing the game. And here's one of them, which is that, you know, you are kind of stuck within with a design aesthetic. If you're making a Caldari ship, there are certain expectations that it needs to have to look like a Caldari ship. And one of the cool things about CCP branching out and introducing new races is that they can go completely to a new aesthetic, a new style that doesn't look like anything, and they're no longer like put in a little box. And that goes with the weaponry too. Like, you don't have to go like, oh, well, it's an Amara ship, so it's got to have lasers, and I guess some of them will have missiles, and you'll have an arbitrator, like whatever, but like you can get outside the box, you can do something completely new. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Trig ships are so popular. One, they look badass as hell. And two, they do weird new stuff that doesn't really fit into one of the main boxes of the four main races.
You know, I feel like, you know, one of the things I always get concerned about is sometimes I wonder if the devs get conflict and what drives conflict, because I feel like the decision to have four races that was designed to like to create conflict. Well, we'll have four races, we'll have two that hate each other, one has enslaved the other, and the other two are fighting, and one took its homeland, and we'll and then the care people will care about their race, and then they'll go fight the other guys. And
it's very 2003, right?
I mean, exactly, that never happened. So now I think we've moved beyond that, and it's like my guy's a Caldari. I make Caldari jokes all the time about hating the Galente and why am I doing this Federation Day nonsense? Screw those guys. But in the end, it's just a joke. It never becomes anything like in the game, because I'll fly whatever the best ship is, and right. If I can get a cheaper hull and the damage works better, then I don't care if it's a Mar or if it's Minotaur or whatever. So I like the fact that I think the Trig ships. Rise and the guys that put the Trig ships together and knocked it out of the park, I think they have a great applications in a variety of different ways. You can use them solo, you can use them in fleets, and I think that's where I'm concerned that the Edencom ships, I think they were designed less to be solo ships, to be more fleet ships, but mm-hmm. they're going to end up becoming just support ships because they don't do enough damage, and they're more, you know, like a way to annoy Logi pilots than anything else. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, at some point, somebody smart is going to figure this out, and we're going to see a new doctrine, and everybody's going to go adopt it. So hopefully, it's Pando that comes up with it, like he did the last.
I was actually about to make a Pando reference right there, amusingly enough. Like seriously, because I was about to say, like, you know, a lot of times you can look at a ship like, you know, Command Destroyer, and you're like, oh, it's a Boucher or whatever, and then somebody comes up with like Snatch Fleet, and you're like, oh my God, this is a whole new world. Like, I never anticipated that you would use these things in this way, in this method. So hopefully when it comes to the Edencom ships, somebody will come up with something clever that we can use with them. I see a question here in chat about Myrmidons. So for those of you that did not hear the story the other day, I in addition to losing a legion and abandoning several regions, including Pureblind and half of Declan that apparently the Imperium owned all this
and
time.
And we lost a Keepstar, right?
And a Keepstar. All of these things, because I lost a legion, because I didn't understand tether mechanics, and I got very, very angry, apparently, reading hostile intel. I am bad at EVE, right? Like, functionally speaking, I've been metagaming for my entire EVE career, and I would like log on and fly and like wave the flag on the Mitanni for like really big ops. But most of my skill set is obviously metagaming, like, and politics and like, you know, the strategy of how do you invade a region, how do you defend a region, that sort of like the macro scale stuff. So I'm kind of like a returning vet, or almost kind of crossed with a newbie, because it's almost worse being a returning vet because I know so much stuff and have forgotten so much stuff that is now completely wrong about EVE Online. Right. So like tether mechanics, I'm only going to learn by getting my ass blasted out from under me, right? Like I did the other day. And I'm like experimenting with PvE. I've got this nice fancy computer, all these monitors. And I'm like, you know what? I'll like try ratting in an anomaly. I've never done it before. Let's actually just see what this is about. So I get a Myrmidon. And it's my first anomaly goes all right, and you know we're doing the thing, and it's like 2 a.m, and I'm blasted off my ass, enjoying myself, listening to music, pretty lights, and this is the most comically on brand thing ever. So I go, first anomaly finishes, and I'm like, okay, I think I got the hang of this. I go to the second anomaly I've ever done, and I'm like vibing, and I pick up my phone, and of course, I start looking at Twitter because that's what I do, especially when I'm blasted off my ass at 2 a.m. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to compose some sort of dumbass tweet that I probably think is witty at the time. And then I have no idea how long I was staring at my phone. And then I look back up and it turns out that my dumbass had forgot to turn on his armor reppers. I got blasted out just from rats. So that's how I lost my Myrmidon. And then of course, whenever I lose a ship, apparently I've got to cede regions and give them up because I get so angry about it. But no, I think it's just funny because it's like, okay, I can see why people can get distracted when it's 2 a.m. and they're not doing anything and get their ass blasted out from under them while flying a Myrmidon, because now I've done it. And I'm like, I'm going to be losing lots of spaceships in dumb ways that are pretty normal for people who are playing EVE Online.
Speaking of relearning, I remember the other day you were like, you know, if these guys are beta us, make sure we have a ton of SBUs that's dropping every system. So we're ready.
I did not do that. But it wouldn't surprise me if I did something like that as we come, there's going to be something like that. I had to So it's been kind of like, the directorate has been very forgiving and very patient with me as I try, to relearn all these things and actually get involved in the client. But, credit to Eve, credit to CCB. Like, one of the things I used to say when I wasn't playing Eve for very much was, I hope that the game advances and CCB makes it to a game that I would want to play. Right. And, it's just so much better than the last time I tried to play the game. And it is legitimate. Like, I think about the game all the time now. I'm watching videos about, data sites and exploration, which is something I've never thought that I'd do. But now I'm thinking about exploration PBE because that's what I'm going to try next. And it's been really awesome. And I think it'll be more awesome if, these dumbasses invade us. So
the exploration thing, I think I'm probably going to get into too, because I've been watching a lot of Rushlock's Twitch stream, and he does mm-hmm. exploration stuff, and it seems pretty cool.
They're exploration bots now. The botters have made
figured out botters how to do
they've
that.
Figured out how to do the hacking mini game.
Yeah, yeah.
I even know the rule of sixes or whatever it is. I learned.
See, I've never even done the hacking minigame, so you're literally more advanced than I am in this. I haven't done the hacking thing either.
I haven't tried it, so I gotta go try. I guess the only ones that it blows up is the covert sites are the ones I gotta worry about.
The ghost
dying.
Sites, I think.
Oh yeah, remember the ghost sites? There was a whole trailer for ghost sites. I remember they were in Astero, I think. Anyway, but there was a whole, or Astratius, there was a whole trailer for that. And it seemed like it was crazy because I don't remember anyone mentioning them ever since then. So
yeah, I forgot about them too. And the only reason I remembered that they existed was after watching these tutorial videos the other night. I watched somebody get their ass blasted. And I'm like, oh yeah, ghost sites, whatever happened to those? Because seriously, other than the video I watched the other night and us talking about it right now, I haven't heard anybody talk. What is even in ghost? There was something important that was in there that we were supposed to care about, and then
they blow up, if I remember.
I guess
correctly,
three
right?
people do them or something. I think they've got an implant set or implant blueprints or something. I don't know. But yeah, it's been educational. It's been fun.
The nice thing about that merm that you lost, you did one site. You're already in the green. You've made your money.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Just by doing one site,
those things are throwaway. They're amazing because it's just okay, you do them. And so back in the day, before anomalies existed, if you wanted to belt rat in Syndicate or something, you had to fight with other 500 other goons in SU-8A4 in order to be able to find a battleship rat. And so the idea of just being able to park your ship and have it spin, I'm like, oh wow, this is really, and the funny thing is that I'm like, oh wow, this is really, really, really brainless and really easy and super chill. And then dumbass loses Myrmidon moments later, having decided that it's super easy and super chill. But it's been fun. I'm really sort of happy with the way that Eve is right now. It's
Kostacek asked why you didn't turn off why you turned off your repper, and it's because he wasn't catch stable.
This character, it turns out, I'm wondering, because the fit is completely cap stable, you turn on both reppers, and I'm looking at this character, it's an ancient Titan pilot from a million years ago that I just had reactivated in Delve. I'm like, whatever, I'll take this one out there and use a merm because I've got other folks are deployed. And I'm wondering, why is the cap running out of 20? Why am I having to do this? It's the afterburner skills. So this character never bothered. It was a Titan pilot from the era where you were in a space coffin, right? And you were just in your Titan. That was it. And so the character didn't have fuel conservation, trained up, didn't have afterburners 5. So that's working now. So soon I will be cap stable in my riding Myrmidon.
There you go. So, all right. So your Legion thing and the Merm thing were embarrassing. I'll tell you my most embarrassing loss.
Embarrassing loss of the week.
And right. it wasn't the Titan, and it was this dumbest, stupidest thing that annoyed the shit out of me. So, I guess I had just finished reading one of the Eve books. It was the one with Tybus Heth and where the next...
I have never read Eve fiction before.
I know, right? I'm being weird. I've read an Eve fiction book. And I wanted to go see the spot where all this stuff happened, and it was in Luminaire. So I hopped in an interceptor, and I said, well, I'll just run up there, and I'll go see the sites, right? So I go up there, and I get to Luminaire, and I'm looking around, and it's a 1.0 system, and I haven't been in HiSec forever. This was 2 years ago or something. And I go and I warp to the site and I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is pretty cool and everything. And then the faction police show up and kill me. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? And then I realized finally, oh, I had below -2 sex status in a 1.0 system. So the faction police came and blew me up. And I'm sitting there, like, in my pod, thinking, I'm the dumbest guy on the face of the earth. How did I not know this?
Fun thing about
I lost a, lost a ship in high sec.
How did I do that? Well, you know, if you're adding a merm for long enough, it'll reset that sex status, no problem. Just keep going and hit those drones, and you're fine.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, my. All right. Well, I don't want to distract. I don't want to poison everybody with a like, my stance on PvE is that it turns out that it's pretty fun if it's 2 a.m. and you have music and you have your hue lights turned to a different color and you turn it into kind of a like a trippy experience. I would not do it really like sober and paying full attention to it. But, you know, it's a with a little bit of help, it can actually be super chill and relaxing. But yeah, so enough super chill and relaxing, because we're gonna probably end the show here soon. I just want to say once again, because most of you who have been trying to do this little thing that we all know about are here in chat and watching, is bring it. We're ready. We're waiting. We're going to keep waiting, because apparently you guys like to give lots of advance notice. Yeah, you know where to find us. That's it as far as war goes for me.
Please don't crap out. Don't
try to do better than the last time that Pro God tried to invade Delph, right? Try to do better than that.
I want it to happen. I want a big war. We haven't had a big war in ages. Please come, show up.
2 years, right? Well, no, it's like every 2 years there's usually a big war, right?
Need a big war. So it's time.
Yeah,
dude.
I have a message about war. I'll take it or leave it. Whatever.
All right. Gentlemen, we're at the end of the show. We went a little bit over because we wanted to provide our viewers with an excellent viewing experience, and I think they did. We got to hear Mittens talk about PvE and PvE war chat in the same show, and we got to find out that Asher doesn't like spicy chicken, which means that he has a character flaw, which none of us believed before.
So the power PvE hour.
Now we know that Asher is not the perfect human being we all thought he was.
Alas. So. You know what? I'll accept your flattery and your insults. Thank you very much.
There you go. You're welcome. All right, gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Asher, for joining us today. For those of you who are watching, thanks for joining us. And Pinecones Delinda Est, you stay classy, New Eden.